Pray with me, guys. From the depths of despair, O Lord, I call for your help. Hear my cry, O Lord. Pay attention to my prayer. Lord, if you kept a record of our sins, who, O Lord, could ever survive? But you offer forgiveness that we might learn to fear you. I am counting on the Lord. Yes, I am counting on him. I have put my hope in his word. I long for the Lord more than centuries long for the dawn. Yes, more than centuries long for the dawn. Oh, Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there's unfailing love. His redemption overflows. He himself will redeem Israel from every kind of sin. The word of God for the people of God. I'm just going to keep praying. God, out of our depths, out of where exactly we are in life, we cry out to you. We say, you are our God. You are our God. You are our God. You alone have the grace we need. You alone have the strength we need. You alone have the love that nurtures us, that supports us. You alone have the healing for our hearts. You alone have the power to save the ones we love, to change the ones we love. You, we look to you for provision, for protection. God, you are our God and we depend on you. We're not here for a good feeling. We're not here for a good mood. We're not here for a spiritual Prozac or Xanax. We don't care. We don't want to feel better. We want to do your will. We demand that the gospel be manifest in our lives. Nothing less. We surrender to you. We open our hearts to you. We're holding nothing back from you. Everything we own, everything we are, every moment of our days, we exist for you. You shed your blood to make us yours, to fill us with your Son's Spirit. And we say yes to you. We wake up in the morning with praise on our lips. Put a song in our hearts, God. We exist to love you. That's what we're here for. We're not here for us. I don't exist for me. I exist to love you. Lord, I know. When we get selfish, life trips us up, and then everything sucks. Then everything hurts. Then everything wrong appeals. Then everyone else's sins against us trip us up, and then we obsess and brood for years. But when we surrender, when you are on the throne, not self, then we see a bigger picture. Jesus, for the joy set before you, you endured the cross to get us home because you love us, you treasure us. And all we want is to fellowship with that love and become that love for everyone around us. We want to see with your eyes. We want to feel with your heart. We want to love with your love. We're calling on you. We wait for you. We long for your appearance and your deliverance, for your help and for your grace. More than centuries are longing for the dawn. We look for your arrival. We look to you alone. What we need is you. What we want is you. And God, while we wait, we celebrate what you've said. We don't forget what you've said. You said we've got everything we need for life and godliness because of your great and precious promises. We believe what you promise. We are your people. We have your Spirit, forgiveness of sins, access to the Father, heaven when we die, everything woven together for your good purpose, for our happiness and your praise. We're banking on it. No matter what we see, hear, feel, or think, what you say is true. We're holding fast. We're armored up. We're not backing down. We won't settle. We won't compromise. Take our idols. Take our idols. Take our idols. Yes, Jesus. We look to you. We expect your deliverance. We expect your deliverance. We expect your deliverance. And just like David girded himself up, encouraged himself in the Lord his God, when everyone around him wanted to stone him, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God and said, should we pursue? And you said, go and recover all. And that's our heart, God. We want it all back. We want it all back. Everything the enemy took, we want it all back. We want it all back. Everything the devil tried to take, we want it all back. All of it. In Jesus' name. Amen. This prayer begins in despair. By the way, that prayer you just heard me pray, you can do that or you can lay around and mope and feel sorry for yourself and let the devil eat your lunch. It's your choice. I've done enough of the other. Sometimes I need a man to look at me in the face. I went to a counseling appointment with a professional counselor. And I explained to him all the hurts I was going through. And after about an hour and a half of me moping about how people wronged me, he looked at me and he said, welcome to gospel ministry. You're normal. This is normal. It's a sin-wrought world. You're not special. There's nothing rare about what you're going through. This is a baptism. You've now been introduced to what normal Christianity is like. Now get up and fight! I didn't need a counseling appointment for 6 more months. Because as a man, that's what I respond to. Get over yourself. Get on with Jesus. Stop feeling sorry. Fight the fight of faith. Why are you getting selfish? Some of you might not respond to that. Some of you might need a hug, a tender word, an encouragement. Jesus can give you those things. I'm telling you what I need as a man. I'm a lion. I'm a warrior. I'm called to fight like one, pray like one, live like one, love like one. So I'm not saying all the ladies in the room would be encouraged by that. Maybe you need Jesus to tenderly carry you like a lamb. Amen. Praise God. I love those passages. But what I needed was a kick in the pants and a shout to the face that says, get on with it, boy. This prayer begins in despair, moves through God's mercy and confession of my shortcomings and flaws to the fear of the Lord, which I don't think is being afraid of God. I think it's this, in light of his mercy and how I screwed up, now I desperately fear being anywhere except for exactly where he's called me to be. It's like I now treasure his guidance and crave his assistance. The last thing I ever want to do now is be in my own wisdom, in my own strength, on my own journey, on my own path. Now that I've tasted his mercy after my mess ups, it's like I just keep my foot from stumbling, God. And it's amazing. It's his kindness that leads to that. It's his mercy that leads to that. It's not his spankings that lead to that. You know? And then this thing is waiting for God, looking to God. This prayer is just depending on God. Because it's a short prayer to read, but it's a long prayer to live. Just because I read it in 5 minutes doesn't mean it didn't take 3 months or even a couple years to actually walk it out. And the whole time he says, we're looking to you, we're looking to you, we're looking to you. This is not a quick fix. This is not an easy button. This is not, if I pray the right way, then the burden lifts. Right. We're not looking for that. We're not in this for a good mood. We need the world around us to align up with God's will. It's way bigger than getting in a good mood. And it takes time. And we're not letting go, God, till it happens. But we're looking to you, depending on you, knowing we can't control the outcomes. How quick I am to try to control the outcomes. I'm like a wolverine. I'll go after a bear. Even when I shouldn't. Do you know what I mean? A wolverine, like a honey badger. Like they just don't back down no matter the size of the thing. Even when, like, what are you doing? Who are you picking a fight with? But not everything can be fought like that. There are some fights that are out of your control, out of my control. And the harder we try, the more we're just exhausted, and then we go, it didn't work, it didn't work. And then we think faith didn't work. That wasn't faith. That was me still working to control, using religious exercises. Some things I can't change. They're out of my control. That's so hard for me to learn. I want to be strong. I spent most of this morning lamenting my weakness. I hate weakness. The thing I hate more than any weakness is self-pity. But God's saying, not self-pity, but Tim, this is beyond your power. You need to be weak with me. And I'm like, but I want to be strong for you, God. And he says, but you can't do this. What you need, you can't do. The healing of your heart, you can't do it. You're trying to heal yourself. Physician, heal yourself. Inner healing man, you're trying to inner heal yourself for my sake and for the sake of those around you. Stop it. I need you to accept it. I need you to let go. Let me be your healer. So I started praying differently. God, if you save me, I'm going to be saved. If you deliver me, I'm going to be delivered. If you don't, I won't. If you heal me, I'll be healed. If you don't, I won't. If you help me, I'll get help. If you don't, I won't. If you lift these burdens, they'll be lifted. If you don't, they won't. I surrender. I surrender. I let it go. I accept it. I can't change it. I can't change them. I can't change it. I can't change the past. I accept it. I accept it. I've been saying that. On the way here, the kids, dead silent in the van, and I say out loud, I accept it. They go, what is he talking about? This is Christian prayer. And it ends in confidence of what God will do. Like worshiping him in advance for the deliverance that will come. We start in despair, we move through confession, we get to dependence, and we anticipate in worship. This is Christian prayer. Which means we always have to start honest. God doesn't care if you cuss, he doesn't care if you scream, he doesn't care. He's more concerned about, like Doug said in the email, or the email Doug sent, he's more concerned about the hurt underneath the cuss word than the cuss word. God doesn't speak English, he speaks heart. He doesn't speak Spanish, he speaks heart. And when we get honest, and when we get real, and when we get raw, when we get down past the head into the heart, now he can commune with us. And he told me, we don't renew our minds by meditating on Scripture, we renew our minds by conversation with him. Meditation with Scripture is helpful if it becomes a source of communion with him. But I sometimes am living up here and the issues are down here. Mm-hmm. Renewal of the mind is me seeing what he sees, not just me having a bunch of Bible verses in my brain. This is Christian prayer. The desperation of our need is honest, and once the burden is expressed, no matter how brutally, and when our dependency is placed on God and God only, then surrender gives way to worship, even before the answer comes. This is Christian prayer. And you go, well, that sounds complicated. All right, let's make it simple. God, I'm in pain. Can you love me? I need you. Help me. God, I worship you. All I need is you. I know you're my answer. Amen. And you're praying that in your head while you're at school. God, you love them. You forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to forgive them. But you say you're seeing them through the cross and you've let it all go. And when they dumped it out on the ground in confession, you said it was in a sea of forgetfulness. How's come I'm not that way? How's come I'm not lined up with you? Help me line up with you. Help me. And then he says, choose, choose. And I go, but I don't feel like it. And he says, choose to forgive. And I go, I forgive in Jesus' name. And I don't want to say it. And the more you don't want to say it, the more you know. You need to pray it. And it's not about asking for help. God, help me to forgive one day. No, 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 no. The grace is here right now to forgive. And you go, Tim, you don't understand. I promise you I understand. So what do we declare when we pray? What do we declare when we pray? We can't save. When we pray, we say this. We can't save ourselves. We're praying because we can't save ourselves. God must. We can't pull ourselves out of the depths. God must. When we pray, we're saying, we can't earn God's mercy. God must grant it. When we pray, we're saying, we're not the origin of the wisdom we need to guide our steps. We need God to guide our steps. When we pray, we're saying, I can't fix the catastrophic things that happen in life, and I can't make them work together for good. I need God to do the impossible in a way I can't understand or comprehend. When we pray, we're saying that thing. When we pray, we're saying, God, we depend upon you for everything. Not just forgiveness in heaven, everything. Food, clothes, friends, love, peace, sanity some days. Some days, a sound mind, we feel like we're holding onto it by a thread. Oh, for a sound mind. For a sound mind. When we pray, we're saying we're utterly thrown on God. At least that's the perspective of faith. Faith says, I'm utterly throwing myself on you, God. That's what faith is. It's like I'm in out over 20,000 fathoms with nothing underneath me, and I jump anyway saying, I'm on you, God. If I fall, I fall, but I'm throwing myself on you with the unknown. I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know if you'll save me or if you'll let me fall. I don't know if I'll live or die, but you said go, so I go. I'm throwing myself utterly on you, God. I'm not in it for a safe life. I'm not in it for a happy life. I'm not in it for a cushy ride. I'm not in it to go to Disneyland and have this many whatever and retire at this age or have this kind of house. Come on. I want you. We make it about us and then we wonder why we suck at it. We suck at it if we're selfish. And when we make it about him, truly about him, sincerely about him, then resurrection life, the life of Christ in us, comes and rises up and we're able to do what he's called us to do. And we have 15 times more joy than we ever thought we'd have. We thought if we surrendered, we would no longer have joy. We thought if we surrendered, he'd say, go be a missionary, poop in a hole full of spiders in Africa. That was the stories they told me in church. Paul Kurtz came back from some place in Africa. He said at night when he had to take a flashlight out to poop in a hole, he shined the flashlight down and the whole side of the latrine was just... Yeah, with spiders, poop-eating spiders. And I was like, don't send me to Africa.
I would say the same thing, do not send me to Africa.
But the truth is, when we hold on to our life, Jesus says this so clear. If you hold on to your life, you will lose it. If you lose your life for my sake. That's not a theory. That's not meaning the only people who do that are people who are actually martyred. That means the only way to be a real disciple is to have that be your sincere desire, your sincere choice, your sincere motive that drives you. I exist for you. I'm willing to die for you. You're worth more than my life to me. I want you more than happiness. I want you more than anything. Everything is on the altar. When we do that, suddenly we find grace. And now there's joy, there's fellowship, there's real presence, there's the presence of God, there's the voice of God, there's the guidance of God, the Bible comes alive, church makes sense, the songs we sing are true. And every page you want to highlight, almost everything, you're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. And what changed was motive. You got real, you made God your goal, instead of God the one who's here to serve you for your selfish goals. Like 99% of Christians, if they're Christian, I don't know, God knows. Coming to church to feel better as a mood boost because the week is hard and hopefully they'll get a pickup. Bro, you don't need to come to church for a pickup. Go to the Lord for a pickup on Wednesday at 4 a.m. when you can't sleep.
That's right.
You should come here to serve, to pour out everything he's been pouring in you through your dependency and brokenness and surrender. This is not a place for you to get.
That's right.
Worship isn't a get. It's a dying. It's a burning of whatever's most precious that you could give him, whatever's your best. Your best. It's not a song. So crazy. If I say worship, modern people think music. It's something dying, being offered to the Lord as a sacrifice so that his fire can come and burn. I need thee every hour. This week I've been thinking, I need thee every hour. More like every 10 seconds. I know y'all know what I'm talking about because you've been through the fire. Like, no one in here is exempt from life and its ravages. Not one soul in this room is exempt from the fall. It didn't just happen one time, thousands of years ago. It's falling. It's rolling. It's rolling over us. And it's like smashing things we love and our own hearts and people we care about with sin and death and betrayal and lies and addictions. All sorts of stuff. Wars, famines, earthquakes, rebellions, martyred missionaries, divorces, wayward children, overdosed friends. It's just rolling. I know you know what I'm talking about. And that drives you to a place where faith is no longer about like, hey, that would be an interesting idea. Maybe there would be a God, a designer, and a moral code, and that would provide a sense of purpose. That's an intellectually interesting proposition. No, I need him. I need to be. There's got to be a gospel, you guys. There has got to be a gospel. Surely the gravity of sin creating more sin and more death and more sin and death, and the only way we can be okay is if that hasn't touched us. Surely there's more than that. Surely there's a gospel where grace is more than sin, where grace is more powerful than sin, where the resurrection life and love of Jesus overcomes the power of sin and death so that we can reign, Romans 5, in this life over sin and death. So that the love of God is never, never inaccessible to us. That's what Romans 8 says. No matter what we're going through, we have access to God's love. That's right. And that makes all the difference. That no matter what we're going through, when we don't have words, when we don't know how to pray, we groan out prayers because the Spirit of God in us is interceding in a way that's accessing my heart and his heart. And my deep's calling to his deep and it's happening. Sometimes our hearts are breaking. That's okay. We're not in this for us. That's only not okay if I'm in it for me. Too much of the time I get in it for me, and then I get real mopey and need Fred Antonelli to say, man up, dog. What's up, dog? That was an office joke. Whew. So that's what we do. I'm sorry. So that's what only God can do. My bad. So that's what only God can do. When we pray, that's what we're saying. Only God. We need you. Only God. If we could do it, we would just do it. When we're praying, we're saying only you, God. Only you. And even what we're called to do, we can't do without you. What we're called to do, I can't do it without your help, God, every moment. What you've called me to do is insane, God. You've called me not to be selfish. That's a big one, because that's our original fallen nature. And God's nature looks like Jesus giving himself in love for the value of the person in front of him.
Is it though, or do we get away from it? Whew.
Explain.
The child. We talked to him. Was it you, or was it a tape I was hearing that said, I want skin on my heart like a child? When we're children, do we have a sinful nature? I mean, we mean because we're children. But I know there was a point where I didn't sin.
You're right. There was an age when our eyes were open and we made the choice. But we were innocent in the beginning. Yeah. Yeah.
Choices became available.
Yeah. So take me home, God. Make me a child again, right? Restore me back to my innocence, God. To where I trusted love. To where I trusted love. To where I received love. Like a little kid receives the love of their parents.
We've had this conversation, I think, recently where I woke up one morning and I realized at what age I was aware of him. But no one in my home spoke of him.
Right.
And it was at that point that I completely believed that I was knitted together.
Awesome.
Yeah. And this, and I see this as knowledge. That I was born with, but wasn't quite aware of at the time.
Right.
That I was too young. So
right.
At some point I got away from it.
Right.
It was there. I knew He was there. I can't remember the age, but I was too young to hear anyone speaking about it. We didn't speak about
right.
it.
Right. Yeah.
My point.
Yeah. Yep. Here's the next thing. I really am trying to finish up. So that's what only God can do, but what can we do? Just based on Psalm 130, what can we do? Number one, I got six things. Number one, we can cry out to God. We can do that. Sometimes doesn't it feel like that's all we can do? Is cry? But don't just cry. Cry out to God. Cry out to God from exactly where we are, even if it's the depths. That's number one. We can cry out to God from exactly where we are. Number two, we can wait for him, even if he takes time. Beloved, that's hard, but we can do it. We can wait for him with dependency, even if it takes time. Because we're not in this for the quick fix. We're in this for the kingdom. We want his will. So number one, cry out. Number two, wait for him. Number three, we can receive his mercy. That's a choice we can make. He's offering his love. He's offering his forgiveness. He's offering his mercy. We have to receive it. He will not force us to suddenly go, oh yeah, he's offering.
That's right.
I love you. I forgive you. Take my love. I want your right. I want my righteousness to cover you. Believe me when I tell you, you're forgiven and squeaky clean. You're holy, blameless, without a single blemish in my sight. That's on his end.
That's right.
But we got to receive it on our end.
That's right. Yeah.
And start to relate. Okay, so cry out, wait for him, receive his mercy. We can put our hope in his word, number four. Put our hope in his word. It's a thing. It's not okay, cool. Yeah, there's his word. It takes a minute sometimes to learn to trust him and what he says is reliable. But once you get to know him, you have that choice. That becomes a real viable option to put your hope in his word. I mean, I already told you, don't budge from what he said no matter what you think, see, feel, or hear. He told me the other week, hold fast. Storms are coming. Hold fast no matter what you see, think, hear, or feel. Do not believe it. Believe what I have said.
Yeah. Stand, therefore.
Stand. Number five. That was four. Put your hope in his word. Number five. We can consciously look to God moment to moment. Consciously look to him. Here it comes. Here's the trouble. Here's the thing. Oh, no. Oh, no. Look to him right now. Just look to him. That's what it says. Like when it's talking about waiting on the Lord, that's what it means. It doesn't mean waiting for the Lord. It means looking to the Lord. Like looking to the Lord. Turn the eyes of your heart to him. One of the things I was doing the other week was picturing Jesus' eyes, looking into my eyes. With my wife, when I want to know her love, we look deeply into each other's eyes. I can see through her eyes, to her soul, to her heart, and I can feel something really deep happening. I don't want to get too emotional and talk about that much more. But we need to look at the Lord. Lock eyes with God. Picture and lock eyes with God and let his gaze transfix. Every time I've looked at Jesus, he's calm. He's calm. He's kind. And when he's not kind, it makes me happier. When he's mad about injustices that I'm hurt by, it makes me really trust him. Even when he's not calm, it makes me trust him. Okay, we can cry out, we can wait for him, we can receive mercy, we can put our hope in his word. Number five, we can look to God moment by moment as if your life depended on it. In college, I wrote a song where the chorus was, I need you more than air. I need you more than life. Obviously, I was going through something. Songs like that don't just happen. I need you more than air. I need you. I don't need to live. I don't need to survive. That's not relevant. Death might be an upgrade. I need you. I need you, God. I need you. Man doesn't live by bread alone. Lives by God. Lives by presence. Lives by voice. Lives by relationship. Lives by you. I need you. Death, that's the least of my concerns. Life is my concern, and it's only in you. Yep.
I just that's it. God, I want to do your will. Whatever it is you want me to do, I'm going
to
do.
I used to be scared to pray that because I was afraid that then he would respond to that prayer by making my life suck.
Well, I always end
But it up, turns out life already is hard.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, look at all the things I've been through. And I'm still
here. You're still here.
I'm still moving forward.
You're still here.
I'm still showing the love that he put inside of me. You know, and just being me.
Yep.
You know, and I.
And he didn't do any of those things, but man, he let the pain in your heart be his access point to pour more grace in you than you could ever received if life just went well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Need drive stuff.
But that's just, I think that's awesome because, I mean, that kind of goes right with what you're doing tonight.
I'm almost done. Almost. Final one. Number six. Oh, let's just recapitulate. Cry out. Wait for him. Receive mercy. Put your hope in his word. Look to God moment by moment. And then the final one. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Worship him. In advance. For who he is. And for what he's going to do. He has these promises. Stan gave me some promises. The Lord gave me some promises through Stan that match the Bible. But personalize it. And I'm holding on to those promises. They match the Bible, but they apply it, right? Like Romans 8:28 says, God works all things together for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. We know, says Paul, and we know. That's strong. And we know that God works everything together for our good. I used to have more of the attitude, God's working everything together for his glory. It doesn't say that. It says it's for my good. He cares about me. My feelings matter to him. My heart matters to him. He's sensitive. God is a good dad.
Yes, he is.
He likes me. He loves me. He takes good care of my feelings and my heart and my dreams and my aspirations and my boo-boos. He puts Band-Aids on, way more Band-Aids than I need because he knows the Band-Aids make me feel better. Zion just puts like 6 Band-Aids on his knee instead of just one because it made him feel happier. We'd go through box and box and box of Band-Aids. That's the way our God is. He's lavish. He's generous. He actually tenderly cares for your feelings and your heart. He cares. I just came up. You heard me scream, I don't care about having a good day. Look, God actually cares if I have a good day. But what's weird is when I don't and all I care about is will, I'm much more available to have one. It's weird how that works. That if I let him be God, my joy is his concern, not mine, I tend to have joy. My peace is his concern and not mine, I tend to have peace. But my point here, and this final point is, we can worship and praise and thank him in advance because we know who he is, what he's like, his character. He's revealed his character, not just in Jesus, but in my history so far. Has he ever left you, you guys? Has he ever left you? Has he ever lied to you? When people did he? When people wronged you, was it him doing it? No, where was he? In the middle of it.
Right there next to you.
Always being love. Everywhere you find him, he's being love. He's earned your trust. He's earned your heart. He's earned your life. The only thing holding us back is fear. There is a living God, and he inhabits his people. Final paragraph. There is a gospel. Grace is enough. Sin isn't greater. Grace is greater. Death isn't greater. The indwelling Christ is greater. Despair isn't greater. Hope is greater. God delivers his people who trust him. He's never going to leave you abandoned or orphaned. He will come to you. He will fill us. He will make us like that burning bush we talked about at the last whiteboard. So be it. Right? So let it be, God. Amen. Let it be that way. I'm going to give you a minute to just pray out your trust, pray out your surrender, or cry out, whatever it is. Just going to give you a minute, and I'm going to be quiet. And actually, I'm done. I love you. You can, yeah.